For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
March 12th, Derech Hashem. So we're in the middle of, in Chelek Gimel, we're in the middle of Perek Revi. I mentioned last time that Perek Gimel, Perek Dal, and Perek Hay are about Nevuah. We covered Perek Gimel last time in half of Perek Dalet, and tonight I'd like to finish Perek Dalet and do Perek Hay about Nevuah. Now, we discussed last time different levels of Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, different types of Ruach HaKodesh, and we also talked about how Nevuah works to a certain extent, and how a Navi can be trained to be a Navi, how that Nevuah is a clarity. It's not ambiguous. It's not fuzzy. There's a clarity that a Navi has. In fact, the clarity of a Navi is far greater than the clarity of a non-Navi. He or she understands not just about Torah, but in just about the Bria. Things become very, very clear to a Navi. So tonight, I want to cover some of the aspects of a Navi Sheker. What does it mean to be a Navi Sheker? There's such a thing as a Navi Sheker. And then, really, the perhaps the most important part of Nevuah to understand is the difference between regular Nevuah and the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the Navi, when he gets a Nevuah, we talked about last time that a Nevuah does not mean communication from Hashem. That's not what a Nevuah is. Nevuah means a connection to Hashem. That's what a Nevuah is. Included in that connection to Hashem is a certain type of clarity that comes from Hashem, which I guess you can call that a communication. The Navi, as we mentioned last time, experiences Ruchnius as real, as just as real as we experience Gashmius. We've talked about many times how even though we know there is such a thing as Ruchnius, but Gashmius feels a lot more real to us than Ruchnius does. A Navi, at least while he's getting the Nevuah, has a sensation of Ruchnius that it feels just as real as the sensation of Gashmius, which is really what it was like for Adam HaRishon before he did his chet, that Ruchnius and Gashmius were just as real. Now the Navi does not permanently get back to where Adam HaRishon was before the chet. It's not like that, but he does have a it's for lack of a better word, a sensation of Nevuah, that of Ruchnius, that is not, it's not ephemeral. It's a real feeling of closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the threshold that distinguishes a non-Navi from a Navi. A Navi crosses that threshold. When you cross that threshold, you know you cross that threshold. You have this clarity of Ruchnius that does not normally happen. Now we mentioned last time also that Nevuah is not necessarily it's not necessarily in words. It's not necessarily something the Navi is supposed to repeat. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It could be, it doesn't have to be. The Ramchal also is very clear that the Nevuahs that were written down, Nevuah Shehut Zuch L'Doros was written down, those Nevuahs that were written down, all of Tanakh, those are the exact words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used. Some people say that the difference between, or they think the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah and the Navi's Nevuah is that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the words, he didn't tell the Navi the words. It's not true. The Navi also got the words that he wrote down. Yechezkel got his words, Yeshaya got his words. We mentioned last time, though, that the words that Hashem uses for Yechezkel are words that fit for Yechezkel. They're filtered through Yechezkel, meaning the words that Hashem picks with Yechezkel are words that are appropriate for Yechezkel to be saying. And that's why you'll find a different signoin, a different a different expression with Yechezkel's Nevuah and with Yeshaya's Nevuah. And the two of them will both be different than the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu, because it's a different person and the signoin is different. Torah is not like that. Torah, it doesn't matter who would have been Moshe Rabbeinu, it's irrelevant. The Torah will be the same, because it's not being filtered through anybody. It is exactly what it's supposed to be. So we covered that last time. We mentioned before that in addition to the Koyach HaTahara that there is in Ruchnius, there are Koyachos HaTuma that are also up there in Ruchnius. We talked about Chalomos, about dreams, that when your neshama is upstairs during the time that you sleep, the neshama is given a little bit more, we said, a little bit more freedom, a little bit more range than when you're awake, because since the entire body is shut down, except for one's dimyon, except for one's imagination, so that frees up a person's neshama a little bit more, and there's a little bit more flexibility, more range, and therefore it is possible for the neshama, when one is sleeping, the neshama might communicate with or come in contact with one of the koichas upstairs, which is how a chalom might have some reality to it about the future. But those koichas upstairs are not all koich hatara. Some of them are koich hatuma. And the koich hatuma is going to be a koich sheker. It's not going to be a koich tara. Which is why we said that even in the event that a neshama does have some connection to something upstairs while one sleeps, that doesn't guarantee that the information that he gets is going to be true. Now, those koyach hatumah are important for understanding a Navi Sheker. Obviously, a Navi Sheker could be someone who just claims to have had a Nevuah but really didn't. Right? I walk in the door and I say, I had a Nevuah. Hashem appeared to me and he said X, Y, Z. And it never happened. Hashem never appeared to me. No such words. I made it up. That's obvious. But there really could be a Navi Sheker who does have some communication, some connection to something Ruchni that's beyond himself. But the connection he's got is one of Koyach HaTuma, not Koyach HaTara. And that's how you could have, like you find in Navi, that they were a misnabe. They said Nevuah. Well, how can you use that word for someone who's lying? It's just flat out making up a story. You call that Nevuah? So I guess you could read it as they pretended like they were getting Nevuah. You could read it that way also. But the Ramchal emphasizes that there, when it says that the Nevi'ei HaBaal, for example, had Nevuah, they were saying something that they actually got from a koyach outside themselves. They really did get it. Writes the Ramchal, this communication or this information that is gotten from a koyach hatuma could happen deliberately, and it can happen without one's intention. Which means, it could happen deliberately. You could have Nevi'ei Sheker, Nevi'ei Avodah Zarah, who are seeking those koyach hatuma. And they figure out how to access those koyach hatuma. Now, we don't know how to access them today, but they did in their day, and they were able to do different things to access koyach hatuma. That's true with all of the kishuf that you find in the Chumash, Ma'onein, Menachesh, Mechashef, all those different things. And it's true with a Navi Sheker. How would they access it? They would do different things, think different things, go different places. I imagine a Beis HaKfaras is one of the places they would go. There's different things they would do, using bones and whatever it is that they would be involved with that would access these koyach hatuma. But it can also happen when they don't mean for it to happen. Now, it can happen when a person is trying to do the right thing and when a person is trying to do the wrong thing. But as Ramchal explains, Nevuah is a complicated thing. It's complicated, like any endeavor is complicated. Anything that has any value to it is complicated. Science is complicated. Math is complicated. If you get to the real higher levels of it can be very complicated. Nevuah is going to be more complicated than that. Nevuah is very, very complicated. And as one is studying to be a Navi, if one doesn't recognize the pitfalls of Nevuah, one could inadvertently stumble into one of these Kayach HaTumah. And they think they're getting Nevuah, real Nevuah, but really they're getting something from Kayach HaTumah, which is why a Navi needed a Rebbe. The Nevi'im taught Talmidim. The classic example we know of is Elisha was Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi, right? But there were B'nai HaNavi'im. There were Talmidim who were being taught how to become Nevi'im. That study was not just what do you need to do to be a Navi? You need to act this way and learn this and do this. It was also how to discern what's real and what's not. Now the Ramchal makes it very clear that once a person gets real Nevuah, they can no longer be misled by Kayach HaTumah. Because the difference between Kayach HaTumah and real Nevuah is so obvious to the one who has experienced real Nevuah. So once a Navi has successfully attained real Nevuah, they will not be at risk for Kayach HaTumah anymore. But until that time, it can happen. It seems from the way he's saying it also that it could happen, like that a Navi could have Kayach HaTumah, that they could reach a certain degree, even though they have had real Nevuah, that they could still have some degree of Kayach HaTumah, because the Nevuah they got was kind of a very low-level Nevuah, and since they're not experts in Nevuah yet, they could still sometimes be drawn into Sheker. Could be. Of course, there could also be a person who starts to do Averis. They used to be a Tzaddik, they started doing Averis, and then they're drawn to Kayach HaTumah. That could also happen. But a person who can be sincere may access the Kayach HaTumah, and he needs a Rebbe to help him navigate the different types of koichas that are out there. Now we have the famous story, since we're dealing with Tamima girls here, I'm assuming that you all know the story, of Achav and the Ruach of Navos. You know the story?
So much fun.
Okay. Is that the one
Nevos
with?
He sang.
He didn't sing. He wasn't a Chazan.
No.
It sounds familiar.
No. Achav wanted a particular vineyard. He wanted the Kerem of Nevos HaYisraeli. Okay. Right, he wanted that. Achav was a Rasha. Nevos did not want to give it to him. So Achav had trumped up charges that Nevos was a Mered B'Malchus. So Nevos was executed. And the rule is that a person's Mered B'Malchus, his nechasim go to the Melech. So he got his Kerem. So later, because of all the averus of Achav, of all of his Avodah Zarah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he's going to have to go up to Ramos Gilad and be killed. He's going to have a battle in Ramos Gilad and be killed. He's going to fight with Aram, and he'll be killed fighting Aram. So the Navi says in Malachim that Hashem said, who will go and trick Achav into going to Ramos Gilad? Because if he would ask a Navi Emes, the Navi Emes would tell him, you don't go, you'll be killed. So who will go? So the Ruach of Navos said, I'll be a Ruach Sheker, b'fi kol Navi'ov. And that's what happened. The Ruach of Navos, which was up there in Shemayim, came down and was a Ruach Tumah, Ruach Sheker, in the mouth of all of the Nevi'im of Achav, the Nevi'i Sheker, Nevi'i Abal of Achav, and they said a Nevuah that you'll go to Ramos Gilad and you'll win, you'll be successful. Now at the same time, there was another Navi, I think it's Michiyahu, who was a Navi Emes, who was saying, don't go. But he didn't listen. Yehoshaphat, who was the Melech Yehuda, told Achav, you need to have Dvar Hashem over here. And I think they spoke to Elisha, but Achav was convinced by the Nevi'i Sheker, who were in turn being fed false nevuah by the ruach of Navos. Now you're getting a picture over here. What do you mean? Navos was a bad person? Navos was killed by Achav. That creates a ruach tuma, because Achav murdered somebody. It's a terrible avera. When a person does an avera, kayach hatuma are created. The worse the avera, the worse the kayach hatuma. Here, Achav created this ruach hatuma. Navos, of course, existed without Achav, but the ruach hatuma was created by Achav in his avera, and it came back to slap him in the face. It caused his nevi'ei sheker to get a false nevuah that they thought had validity, that they would tell him. He was convinced by them, and he went to Ramos Gilead and was killed. But more than that, even when that happened, there was that one of the nevi'ei sheker, who was, his name was Tzidkiah, he got an extra nevuah, more than all the other nevi'ei sheker, and he took some horns, and he said, "Bezos tenagach es Aram. With this, you will gore Aram." Then Hashem says, "You'll kill them. You'll win." So the Ramchal explains, Tzidkiah, in order to convince Achav to do the wrong thing, Hashem deliberately gave Tzidkiah a nevuas sheker. But that nevuas sheker was, even in Tzidkiah's mind, was a greater nevuah than he'd ever had. Tzidkiah had only had nevuas sheker. He never had nevuas emes. But the nevuas sheker he had was accessing the kayach hatuma. And he did it deliberately. Like all the nevi'ei sheker of Achav, they deliberately look for kayach hatuma. But Hashem added something that he wasn't even looking for. When Tzidkiah wasn't looking for the kayach hatuma, Hashem gave him a kayach hatuma, that he would go to Achav and say, "With this, you're going to win." So there, Hashem used kayach hatuma with the ruach of Navos HaYisraeli to get Achav to be killed in Ramos Gilead. So there, it was actually Hashem manipulated the nevi'ei sheker using kayach hatuma that they didn't even realize. With that extra nevuah was kayach hatuma. So that's what I mean to say, that the Ramchal is saying that kayach hatuma can be accessed on purpose, and sometimes it can happen without realizing it, that a person gets kayach hatuma. It can be in a pitfall in trying to get real nevuah, and it could be a punishment to it. And anyway, Navi Sheker, that he'll be given kayach hatuma. You have a question?
Yeah, did they realize, like, did Tzidkiah and all the other Navi Sheker, did they have Rebbeim who taught them nevuah?
Apparently not.
So then why did Achav hire them? Like, well, didn't Achav realize, like, Achav was like...
I don't know if you have to bring your Ksav Smicha from your Navi school. You know, anyway, he was Navi Avodah Zarah, and they were Navi Habal. So, you know, he trusted Nevi'ei Habal. He believed in Avodah Zarah.
Mm-hmm. But he knew that it wasn't really Emes, so why is he listening to
him? I don't know if he knew. He believed in Avodah Zarah. Mm-hmm. He worshipped Avodah Zarah. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the differences between regular Nevuah and the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, now this is critical because, as we know, like the Rambam says, one of the Yud Gimel Yikrim, as you have to know, the Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rabban Shel Kol HaNaviim, and there is no other Navi that is as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. So, in what way is it different? Now, I think everybody's familiar with the terminology of Chazal, that all of the other Navim see Baspaklaria She'ena Meira, and Aspaklaria seems to be like a glass. So, all of the Navim see through a shaded glass, a cloudy glass. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees through an aspaklaria hami'ira, a clear glass. That's the Lashon of Chazal. The Ramchal lists several differences between regular nevuah. Regular nevuah has different madregas. The nevuah of Lamashal, let's take, of Yechezkel, is not as great as the nevuah of Yeshaya. Yeshaya is a greater Navi than Yechezkel. So the nevuahs, even within other regular Nevi'im, the Nevuah of Shmuel HaNavi is higher than all the other, you know, Eliyahu HaNavi, they're a higher Nevuah. So there can be gradations of Nevuah even within regular Nevuah. But there is a quantifiable difference between a qualitative difference between all other nevuah, even the whole range of other nevuah, and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is in a whole different league. He's in a league all by himself. So what puts Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah in a league all by itself? So there are several things. First of all, that a regular Navi, in order to get nevuah, Hashem uses the koyach of Dimyon. He uses our regular, I'm going to call it physical, what I mean, Gashmi koyach of imagination. We all have imagination. We all have that koyach within us. Normally, imagination is sheker. We just make things up. But Hashem uses that koyach to give a Navi nevuah. A Navi will see a picture. He'll see things. It can happen when the Navi is asleep, in a chaloyim. And it can also happen when he's awake. But when he's awake, in order for the Navi to get nevuah, he has to relinquish control of his physical body. Because the Navi can't both be completely functioning as a Gashmi human being and at the same time be a Navi. Can't do that. A regular Navi can't have both things simultaneously. He has his body, but his body is either asleep, so it's, for all intents and purposes, not functioning, or it's awake, but it's almost like it's in a state of inebriation. It's almost like it's shikar. It's not functioning properly. And the Navi, when he's getting the nevuah, even though, as we emphasized many times, the Navi is totally clear. He's not drunk. Even though he may look like someone who's drunk, and someone who's drunk, his mind is muddled, the Navi's mind is not muddled at all. It's completely clear, clearer than it is when he's not a Navi. But his body does not function in a normal way. This has to be, because in order for the Navi to experience Ruchnius as real, he has to be not experiencing Gashmi as real. He can't be doing both at the same time. Not like Adam Rishon, who had both simultaneously. Moshe Rabbeinu is not like that. Moshe Rabbeinu can be sitting and talking and acting completely normally as a regular physical Gashmi human being and at the same time be having Nevuah. He's able to experience both simultaneously. He's completely, fully Gashmi and Ruchni at the same time, which is a much higher madrega. That's a qualitative difference in the Nevuah. He doesn't have to let go of his physical body in order to be a Navi. That's a major difference between Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's, we learn a lot of this from what Hashem says to Miriam and Aaron. Where Hashem says to them, Im yeh nevi achem, where Hashem said, Bamara elavas, b'chalom adaber bo. I speak to a regular Navi in a chalom. Lochin abdi Moshe, b'chol beisin emonhu, pel pel adaber bo. I just speak to him, v'lo v'chidos. There's no secrets. There's no, right? We converse. It's like he's having a conversation. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one very important difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and a regular Navi. Now another difference is that a regular Navi gets the Nevuah, as we mentioned, through a chaloim and through dimyon, through imagination. And Hashem shows the Navi different things. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not a chaloim. It's not a dream. And it's not pictures. It is. I don't want to say words because it doesn't have to be words either. The point is, again, it's like we're talking to each other. The same experience that we have, that when I'm talking to you, you don't need to use your imagination to picture what I look like, my mouth moving, because we're in person. Moshe Rabbeinu, even though, of course, Hashem doesn't have a mouth and he doesn't have a body, but whatever the message is, Moshe Rabbeinu is getting it in a clarity that does not require dimyon. It doesn't require imagination. It is pure clarity. And that's all. No dimyon, no imagination necessary. A third difference between the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the nevuah of regular neviim is this aspaklaria thing, being able to what you see. As the Ramchal explains, the neviim, because they're having a real experience of ruchnius, they are therefore seeing somehow the kavod of Hashem. Now you can't see Hashem. Hashem, there's nothing to see. He's not physical. He has no body. So there's nothing to see. But there's something called the kavod of Hashem. Maybe we'll call it the Shechina. I don't know what we'll call it. But there is a manifestation that Hashem will use that the Navi will see. But the Navi will see that whatever that is, there's no words that we have to describe it because none of us have ever experienced it. But whatever it is that he's seeing, it is very, very fuzzy. It is through multiple layers of clouded glass. And he's not seeing it clearly at all. There's something, but he's not seeing it. It's a fuzzy thing. He knows with clarity that it is the covenant of Hashem. Then he knows. He has no doubts about it. It's not like, oh, what is that? I'm not really sure. No, he knows for a fact that it is the covenant of Hashem, but he can't see it well. Moshe Rabbeinu saw it perfectly. Now, it doesn't mean Hashem. It's not possible. Anyway, even whatever it is that a person is allowed to see, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki lo yirani ha'adam b'chai. Person can't see me. Even you, Moshe Rabbeinu, can't see me. He says, you'll see achorai ufanai lo yera'u. You can't see my front. You can only see my back. Whatever that means. So even Moshe Rabbeinu was limited in what he was allowed to see. But whatever it is that a human being can see, Moshe Rabbeinu saw it perfectly with clarity. There was no shadowiness to it. There was no cloudiness to it. It was a perfect picture. Whereas the other Nevi'im saw things in a fuzzy way. A fourth difference between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and other Nevi'im is that other Nevi'im get Nevuah whenever Hashem decides to give them Nevuah. Meaning you can work towards being a Navi, you can learn how to be a Navi. When you are ready, you will get some sort of connection to Hashem, but it's at Hashem's chosen time and place. Moshe Rabbeinu, imdu ve'eshma ma'itzvah Hashem lachem. Right? Stay right here, I'll go find out. Moshe Rabbeinu can just pick up the phone. He anytime he wanted, there was no waiting, there was no, turn on the machine and let it warm up. There was nothing like that. It was instant. So Moshe Rabbeinu was anytime he wanted, was able to access Nevuah. More than that, another difference is that Moshe Rabbeinu had no limit on what Nevuah he got. He was given free reign. Free reign. He was able to, as the Ramchal says, Hashem gave him access to anything he wanted to see. Anything about the Bria. Anything about anything. He could just... It was like the library was open. Go and take a look. Whatever you want. It's all there. You know how it is. Elisha says when the Isha Shunamis comes to him after her son dies. And he comes to him. She comes to him. So Gehazi tries to push her away. Vayigash Gehazi lahadfa. So Elisha says, leave her alone. Kinaf shamar Allah. So leave her alone. Vashem helim mimeni v'lohi gidli. Hashem didn't tell me. I don't know what the problem is because Hashem didn't tell me. So I don't know why she's so upset. But she's obviously upset, but I don't know why Hashem didn't tell me. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have that. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need to wait for Hashem to tell him. He can go find out whenever he wants. Imdu v'eshma Hashem lachem. I'll go ask. I'll go find out. He's not just not limited in when to get Nevuah. He's not limited in what to get Nevuah about. He can find out anything he wants. So Moshe Rabbeinu's grasp, not only of Torah, but of the Bria, of for sure all the physical sciences and Chachmas, for sure that, but also beyond that, his grasp was beyond our ability to comprehend. Any piece of information that we find elusive today, let's dumb it down to science, it's dumbing it down because it's not Torah. So let's dumb it down to science. What are there planets in such and such a galaxy? He knew if he wanted to. He knew. If he wanted to know, he knew. If he cared, he could just find out. It wasn't something that was distant from him. And Torah, everything. I mean, all the nuances, everything, all the whatever's going on in the base marriage, people are arguing back and forth. Moshe Rabbeinu had it all. He was able to discern it all. Whatever a human being can do. There's a certain, Hashem didn't give him that little bit because Hashem is not going to give a human being everything. But whatever is accessible to a human being, Moshe Rabbeinu had. So that's also another difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and everybody else. But you hear what we're talking about over here. Moshe Rabbeinu is mamish like a Malach Hashem Tzvalkos. You're dealing with a person who is almost not human. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, and only Moshe Rabbeinu, was mechuyev to separate from his wife. Because only Moshe Rabbeinu, he was no longer functioning as a human being. When he was on Har Sinai, he didn't eat for 40 days. He didn't eat. Didn't drink. He wasn't functioning like a regular human being anymore. He was just... the tzura of Adam that he was transcended anything that is in this world and anything that is in the Ruchni world other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He transcended all the Malachim. He was greater than the Malachim. Greater than all the Malachim. Greater than, of course, there's nothing that was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, one last point he makes. He says, by the way, that's what it means. B'chol beisi ne'man hu. That's what it means. B'chol beisi ne'man hu. Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. Moshe Rabbeinu had everything. Now, one last point that he makes is an interesting point. I don't grasp fully what he's saying, but I hear the paradox. What he says is that a Navi, part of the idea that he gets when he's a Navi, regular Navi, part of the idea that he gets when he's a Navi is a clarity in the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has no form. As we know intellectually, because the Rambam says in the Yigil Mikrim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has no parts. He has no form. He has no body. He has no mouth. He has no eyes. He has no ears. He has no hand. He has no brain. He has no voice. There's nothing. Hashem doesn't have any of that. We all know that. But a Navi, because he's a Navi, knows that with much greater clarity than we know that. Yet, he's seeing some sort of Amara, some sort of Kvod Elokim. He's seeing something. So, he has an incredible clarity of Das, that Hashem has no physical appearance, yet the Navi is seeing something that Hashem is allowing him to see. So, I don't know what that means because we have no words to describe what it is the Navi is seeing. But Chas v'Shalom, the Navi is not going to get the impression that I'm looking at God. It's not possible, and the Navi knows that better than we know that. So there's some sort of a paradox going on over there, and he explains the Pesukim of Usmuna Einchem Ro'im on our Sinai when we all had Nevuah. You don't see a picture, Zulasi Kol, only a sound. Chazal call that mare kol. What does that mean? Seeing the sound. But at the same time, it says vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. It says they saw Elokei Yisrael. What does that mean? They saw Elokei Yisrael. There's nothing to see. So that's what he's trying to show, that there's a paradox inherent in being a Navi. And that you know with clarity Hashem has nothing to see, yet you're seeing something. So, it's Hashem will become Navim, we'll find out what that means. But I don't know. Anyway, but that's Moshe Rabbeinu is just on a totally, totally different plane than other Navim. Any questions for me? No?
Well, it must have been, you know, how did Bnei Yisrael know what was true and what wasn't if they weren't on the level of the Navi? Meaning someone was coming to them and saying, and they could have been seeing, you know,
yeah,
from the Ruach HaTamah.
Yeah, so the way you know that a Navi is Emes is there's the main way you know is if a Navi is telling you to do something that the Torah says not to do. That's if a Navi Sheker comes to you and says, you should have tuna fish for lunch. All right. I mean, right? Right? So, okay. You know, so the Navi does that. But if the Navi but usually that's not what a Navi would be doing. A Navi Sheker would be trying to get you to do something to manipulate you. So, anything which goes against the Torah, then you know the Navi's a Navi Sheker.
But even the Navi Emes sometimes was...
The only time a Navi Emes, like Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel, where he said to bring carbon, Shasis Rabamas, it's only a Navi that's Muchsuk already to be a Navi can do that. If he's not Muchsuk, excuse me, then you can't trust a Navi that tells you to do anything. Even a Navi that appears to be a big tzaddik, if he tells you to go into the Torah, you don't listen to the Navi. That's how you know. Okay. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.